I would ask you please to take your copy of God's Word and turn with me this morning to the Gospel according to Luke, to Luke's Gospel, Luke's Gospel chapter 19. I want you to get a little feel of the context here before I open up the passage. If you go back into chapter 18 for just a moment and begin at verse 31, and taking the 12, he said to them, "Look, or see, or behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." He talks about being delivered up to death, but notice verse 34, "They understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what he said." And then Jesus draws near. He's on his way now to Jerusalem. In verse 35, "And he drew near to Jericho, and there he heals a blind man." He continues his trip at the beginning of chapter 19. And later he will leave Jericho. So we begin our reading in chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke. "And he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. On account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of God came to seek and to save the lost.'" The grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of our God shall endure forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we now ask you to open up our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of this portion of your gospel. Be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a child, in our churches in America, we had Sunday school for children every Sunday morning. And we also had what is called Vacation Bible School, which was generally about the first week after the children got out of school, and they would have Vacation Bible School for 5 days at the church. Well, regardless of what we do or where we do it, there were two songs that I remember learning as a child in Vacation Bible School. And one of the songs was about Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. I remember that song. The other song was a song about this man in our passage whose name is Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, and as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today." Well, Even songs that we sing have a context. Jesus is moving through and the city of Jericho. Right before our passage this morning, he met a blind man who was poor and begging for money. And Jesus opened his eyes and he was able to see. And now in the next paragraph, Jesus bumps into a rich man. A rich man who was seeking something. Very interesting. Back to back, a poor man, a rich man, a reminder that Jesus is a Savior of all kinds of people. Let's look at this man for a moment. Let me just say a couple of things. His name, it's Zacchaeus. Luke does not mention the names of very many individuals in his gospel account. In the previous chapter, infants and children came to him. He doesn't give us any names. We don't know the name of the rich young ruler that came to him in the previous section of Scripture. We're not even given the name of the poor blind beggar in the passage that precedes this. But now we're given a man's name. His name is Zacchaeus. And I'm sure that Luke, who was a great historian, probably interviewed this man. And he's telling this story as he tells us the story about Jesus Christ. The other thing is that he lived in a city called Jericho. The walls of Jericho did come tumbling down in the Old Testament during the days of Joshua. It had been, those walls that had fallen down had now been replaced, and Jericho was a little paradise. It had rose gardens, it had palm trees, balsam trees, and many of its streets were lined with sycamore trees. The Roman government had built a kind of palace there. They had built a racetrack so that the horses could race there. It was kind of a very popular tourist site in Israel during the days of Jesus Christ. Herod the Great had worked on it. And what I did not know when I was looking at Jericho as I did some of my studies, the Roman Empire under Caesar loved that city. And after Julius Caesar died, Mark Anthony named a new thing there in the name of and dedicated the city to a queen by the name of Cleopatra that you may have heard about in your history. But here's the deal. The big names in history, Julius Caesar, Mark Anthony, Queen Cleopatra, they are wee little people when compared to the Lord Jesus Christ as he moves through this city on his way to die for the sins of his people. And what I want you to look with me with thee this morning is that we have a story here of two seekers. Two seekers. Luke begins the passage in verse 2 by saying, "And behold," and behold. He begins it with those words and he ends it in verse 10 with the words, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost," or he that was lost. There are three stages in the story. We're going to walk through it very simply and very to the point. We're going to ask and answer three questions from this passage. Here are the questions. Where does Jesus find this man? The second question is, what does Jesus say to this man? And the third thing is, what does Jesus do for this man? And I think if we ask and answer those questions, it'll help us walk our way through this passage this morning. Here's the first question. Where did Jesus find this man? Now the answer is very simple. He found this man in a sycamore fig tree. One man wrote these words. It's not every day that you see a government collection agent in a sycamore tree. There was a reason why he came to that sycamore tree. He was too short, and he couldn't see over the crowds that were along the street. So, being a short man, he had to climb a tree, and it would help him to see Jesus. He put himself in a position where he would be able to see this person, Jesus of Nazareth, as he walked down the street. But why is he doing this? Well, why is he doing this? He could have stayed at home. He could have stayed at his collecting office. He was the chief tax collector. He made big bucks and he farmed out taxes to other people and they would gather big bucks for the Roman Empire and Republic. You know, he could have stayed at home. Why did he come? The people in the city didn't like him because when Jesus comes into his house, we're told in the passage that they were grumbling about the fact that Jesus went to the house of this man by the name of Zacchaeus. Why? Well, Luke tells us in verses 3 and 4. Luke repeats something. He says in verse 3, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Verse 4, he climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him. Zacchaeus, of all the people in the world, wanted to see Jesus Christ. Here's a man that's acting out of character. It's very evident. This is not the character that you would expect of a government official who had no clue. Why in the world is he there in a tree looking for Jesus? Well, maybe he had heard about Jesus. And he probably may have heard that Jesus was not above eating with tax collectors and sinners because there were... Maybe he had heard about Matthew. One of his disciples was a former tax collector. I don't know. But I do know that this man is acting out of character when he goes and climbs that sycamore tree to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But let me say this. Whenever our Lord Jesus Christ saves any sinner, that person acts out of character. Because we are not naturally people. Because we're sinful people who understand the gospel. But all of a sudden, something happens in our lives, conversion, a new birth, that enables us to act out of our character and to become somebody new. I acted out of character on the night that I became a Christian. My daddy was a preacher, and I went to church, and I knew all the stories, and I could repeat the stories, and I loved my dad and my mom very, very much. But you know what happened one night when I went to a conference for young people? I acted out of character. I listened to the sermon. I really listened. And as the man preached the gospel, my heart was opened, and as best I can remember all that happened to me at that age, I ran to Jesus Christ as my only hope. I acted out of character that particular time. That's what I want you to see about Zacchaeus. All I can say is that God in His sovereign grace and in His pure mercy opened the eyes of Zacchaeus and the heart of Zacchaeus that he would go and seek to see Jesus Christ. He understood something, that money can't buy you love. The Holy Spirit was working on Zacchaeus' heart. Okay, that's our first question. Now, that's where Jesus found him, in a sycamore tree. But secondly, what does Jesus say to him? Well, the most interesting thing of all is that Jesus would say anything to him, in one sense. Why did Jesus speak to him? There were other people there. Why did he mark him out? There are all kinds of people along that street, but look at verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, you hurry down, for I must stay at your house today." Now, I've got to be careful how I word what I'm about to say. Okay? Jesus didn't immediately preach the gospel to him. Jesus didn't expose his sins evidently immediately while he was there in that sycamore tree and coming down. Jesus didn't attempt to make him feel bad and ashamed in any way. He didn't expose his sins at this point. What's going on? Well, I believe his sins were already being exposed. And that's why he was up in that tree. I think the Holy Spirit was working in Zacchaeus' heart. Jesus didn't need to expose his sins. He probably did when he went in the house and talked to him about that. But this guy is just open and very straightforward. The Holy Spirit's exposing his sins. The Holy Spirit was exposing to him his need of Christ. His need to see Christ. And my friends, Jesus Christ is the gospel. He is the gospel. He's God's Son who came in this world to save sinners. And this man wants to see Jesus and talk with Jesus, who is in essence the gospel. And so Jesus says to him, I must come into your house. And in verse 9 he'll say, salvation has come to your house. God is bringing about the conviction. God is bringing about the work. God is moving in the life of this tax collector. He knows, you're going to see what he says in a little bit. He knows he's done wrong. Even being in the very presence of Jesus, this man is aware that he sinned against other people. He's robbed people. He's stolen. He was rich. He didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about nothing but Zacchaeus. But now he's a different person. And Jesus says to him in verse 9, today salvation has come to your house. He's kind of like the thief on the cross next to Jesus, who said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. When it comes to our salvation, as brothers and sisters gathered here together in this congregation this morning, what does Jesus require of you and me to come to Him? I think the hymn writer nailed it when he said, all the fitness He requireth of anybody here this morning, all the fitness that He requires of every child here, every adult here, every visitor who may be here, is to feel your need of Him. Who He is and what He's done and what He's doing. All the fitness He requires is to see your need of Him. Reminds me of two stories. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist minister in London, had an experience of one individual who was saved dramatically. Let me tell you what he did. Spurgeon would often go into his congregation or into the building that he was preaching in, and he would check out the acoustics and to make sure that everybody could hear him. He'd stand up in the pulpit one day and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He could hear the echo and okay. He got down out of his pulpit and he went back to his study. The next day, he bumped into a janitor in the hall who was cleaning up the building. And that janitor walked up to Spurgeon and basically said, I was saved yesterday. He said, when you cried out, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, I fled to Jesus Christ. That very moment. That's dramatic. But here's a less dramatic story. Some elders were receiving a woman into the congregation for membership, and they asked her the question, basically this, what was it that drew you to the Lord Jesus Christ? And here's what she said. I saw how unlike Jesus I was. He is so full of grace, free from sin, and kind and gentle, a friend of sinners. I saw that I was so unlike Him and that I needed Him to be my Savior. God was exposing to that woman and had exposed her that she was a sinner. And that all that she needed to do was to feel her need of Him and run to Him that she might have life. What does this say? Well, it's saying to us that who's seeking who in this passage? Jesus is seeking her. She seeks. But He has been working in her heart, or His heart, by His Holy Spirit to enable Him to see that He needed Jesus. That's what you need the most this morning, and that's what you need to keep living the Christian life. This is where you draw your strength and your hope from. As you go through tough times, hard times, normal times, you need to feel your need of Him at every step of your life, especially at the time when you initially come to Christ. But you must feel your need of Him every single day of your life. All the fitness that He requireth is to see your need of Him. He shows us that, He tells Zacchaeus, I must come to your house. You know, I must come to your house. He shows him, we must come to Him. And He says, I'm coming to your house today, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus would sing that song that we just sang. I sought the Lord and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. Now let's ask and answer the third question. What does Jesus do for him? Well, He gives him saving grace. He believed in Jesus and Jesus granted him both repentance and faith. He shows that he had been changed. When he came to Jesus Christ, he came in both repentance and faith. J.C. Ryle is one of my favorite writers. I don't know if you know about J.C. Ryle. I had the privilege this week of going with Peter to two of the churches that J.C. Ryle preached in a little bit, maybe 40 miles from here. What now? Heaven. Yes. Anyway, some churches. And he was a great writer. In one of the churches, he painted up on all these gospel verses up on the wall as he renovated the church that was there. But Ryle was a guy who was very passionate. And here's what he writes about Zacchaeus. This is the way Jesus saves lost sinners. He does it by walking right into our lives. He does it by walking right into our lives. If ever there was a soul sought and saved, it was the soul of Zacchaeus. Unasked, our Lord stops and speaks to Zacchaeus. Unasked, He offers Himself to be a guest in the house of a sinner. Unasked, He's sent into the heart of a publican, the renewing grace of the Spirit, and puts him that very day as being one of the children of Abraham. That's what he says at the end of verse 9. But he does have repentance and faith. He's very aware about his life. Look at what the man does. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Here is a man who came to understand that he was a sinner. He had ripped off other people. Here's a man who is a new creation, who has a new life because He saw his need of Jesus Christ. A new creation with new desires. In our theological circles as Presbyterians, we would use words like this to describe this passage. We would say this passage teaches us about the sovereignty of God. Zacchaeus did not stop for Jesus. Jesus stopped for Zacchaeus. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name because he knew him from eternity. Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me." Zacchaeus heard his voice. He came down. He embraced Christ offered in the gospel. He repented and trusted in him. This is what our Westminster Confession of Faith calls effectual calling. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ and the renewing of our wills, he does persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. That's what happened. He was effectually called by the Spirit of God. God opened his eyes. God put in him a desire to go see this person, Jesus of Nazareth. He has the ability to come down to eat with him. He sees the wayward ways that he has been all his life. And he places his confidence and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Here's a man whose life was transformed by the gospel. Has yours? Has Jesus Christ made a difference in your life and changed you from what you were to what you are now? You're not perfect now, but have you trusted in him for your salvation? There's a story, and I think even the children here can understand the story that I like to tell people. We have interstate highways in America, kind of like your M1s, four lanes. Everybody, I get scared here. You drive on the wrong side of the road. That's a joke. But there was a woman who was riding her car on the interstate highway. And a big 12 truck, one of these big things that carries a lot of stuff, groceries, and was riding right on the rear end of her car. And she sped up, and the guy kept coming after, right after her. And she sped up more, and the guy kept staying right there, almost on her bumper. And so she made a turn off, and she went into a gas station. And that truck just kept following her. And when she got to the gas station, petrol station, she opened the door, she ran into the building, and turned around and looked. And what happened was, the man who was driving the truck jumped out of the truck, went to her back door of her car, and pulled out a man who he saw hiding under that car, and he had a gun in his hand. But he grabbed him and pulled him out. And you know what the woman said? After the man was caught and nothing else happened further, she said, "The whole time I was running from my rescuer. I was running from my rescuer. The man was trying to tell me something." The gospel of Jesus Christ says, don't run from the one who came to rescue you. Don't run from him. Run to him. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Of all kinds of sinners. Of all colors of people. Of all races. Of all genders. Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners, and this Jesus Christ is offered today in His gospel, afresh to every one of us. I found out that in my Christian life, I believe over and over again. Because the gospel is the fuel that keeps us running and keeps us going. Thanks be to God for His saving grace. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that You are the sovereign one. And that Luke, as he tells us this story, said that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we thank You, O Lord Jesus, as that's what You continue to do. That as Your gospel is preached, as Your gospel is witnessed to, as the lives of Your people under the burden of that gospel are worked out in culture and in society, You are the God who uses all of these instruments to point us to our rescuer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself is the gospel. So help us as people to embrace Jesus Christ in the gospel. Help us to continually cling to that gospel as we live our lives, that You are a friend of sinners, and that You're a friend of everyone here this morning who places their trust in You. Continue to bless us and continue to guide us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.